Psalm 32, and I read to you the whole psalm, and then we will study verses 1 to 4. Psalm 32. A maskil of David. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Now this psalm, Psalm 32, is the second of the seven penitential psalms that we find in the scriptures. Psalm 51 is written immediately after Nathan the prophet is sent by God, to convict David of sin. That's in 2 Samuel chapter 11, right up to chapter 11 and chapter 12 gives us the account of how Nathan the prophet is sent by God to convict David of sin. But David wrote the psalm after confessing his sins. He had committed the sin of adultery, murder, and deception. And now he writes Psalm 32 in retrospective. In Psalm 51 verse 13, David makes a vow to share what he has learned from this costly experience. Psalm 51 verses 12 and 13. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. And Psalm 32 is a fulfillment of that promise. Psalm 32 is also the first maskil psalm. Verse 1 says, a maskil of David. The other maskil psalms are Psalm 42, Psalm 45, Psalm 52 to 55, Psalm 74, Psalm 78, 88, 89, and 142. Now this word maskil has been interpreted in many ways. It could mean a skillful song, or a song of instruction, or a contemplative poem. But the word actually means, the root meaning of the word is instruction. And that's why it is translated in that way in verse 8. In Psalm 32 verse 8, it's translated as instruct. Psalm 32 verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. However, maskil may also mean a musical direction, the meaning of which we still do not know. Now the Jews used this psalm, Psalm 32, at the close of the annual Day of Atonement. The Apostle Paul, he quotes Psalm 32 verses 1 and 2 in Romans chapter 4 verses 7 to 8. And he uses this as part of his argument for salvation by grace alone, apart from the works of the law. Psalm 32 verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. And in Romans, Paul says, Romans chapter 4 verse 7 and 8, he quotes the psalm, Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Now in this psalm, David shared four basic facts about sin and forgiveness that need to be understood by every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, he tells us about the blessings of acceptance, verses 1 and 2 in Psalm 32. Then he speaks about the foolishness of impenitence, verses 3 and 4. Number 3, he speaks about the way of deliverance. And number 4, he speaks of the joy of obedience, verses 8 to 11. Number 1, the blessings of acceptance, verses 1 and 2. Now David launched straight into the psalm with a song of praise. Instead of starting with a catalog of sins, he bursts out in praise. Remember, he's writing Psalm 32 in retrospective. Having been forgiven, he is writing Psalm 32. Psalm 32 verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Now David experiences forgiveness, and David's experience of forgiveness came long after he had committed his sins. In fact, he had covered up his sins for almost a year. Psalm 32 verses 3 and 5, 3 to 5. Psalm 32 verses 3 to 5. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you and I did not cover my iniquity. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Now having entered into this freedom of forgiveness, David shouts out praise. He couldn't wait to shout about it. You see, if we have acceptance with God, it does not matter what else may happen to us. People may not accept us, even fellow believers may reject us, but acceptance by God is blessedness. Acceptance by God is blessedness. Now David uses four words to describe sin here in the psalm. He uses four words to describe sin. The first word he uses is the word transgression in verse 1. Now this word transgression means positive rebellion. Knowing that something is wrong and yet doing it. That is transgression. Transgression is doing something knowing fully well that it is forbidden by God. It is actually crossing the line and it is rebellion against God. Now David knew the Ten Commandments and he knew very well that adultery, murder and deceit were forbidden by God in his holy law. Yet you find David transgressing God's law. He crossed the line in rebellion. Then the second word that is used to describe sin is the word sin itself in verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now this word sin actually means missing the mark. God's pass mark is 100% holiness. And every human being born under Adam has missed God's pass mark. No one has lived up to the standards that God has set. So unless God shows us his grace, we can never be saved. The third word that is used to describe sin is the word iniquity in verse 2. It is a Hebrew word, avon, avon. Now, avon comes from the root word ova, and that means twisted, perverted, or crooked. And this is a word that describes the inner character of a person. And this word is connected with our bloodline. We are all fallen children of Adam. We've all fallen. Our forefather Adam has sinned. And we are all born of Adam. We are all fallen children of Adam. And that's why David says in Psalm 51 verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. David is not speaking about the biological process of birth. David is stating the fact that he is born with a crooked, twisted, perverted, sinful nature. And all of us are born like that. We are all born in this manner. Therefore, unless we are born again, there is no hope for us. We would have perished eternally, being separated from God, if we are not born again. And that is what the Bible calls hell. Eternally separated from God. Then we find the word guile, which describes sin, in verse 2, Psalm 32 verse 2, and I'm reading from the King James Version now. Psalm 32 verse 2, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now that word means deception. Guile means deception. And the ESV, the English Standard Version, translates it rightly as deceit. Deceit. Now, David tried to cover his sins. For a year, he tried to cover his sins and pretended that nothing had happened. He tried to pretend that nothing had happened. He acted in deceit. But the Lord chastened him, disciplined him, until he had confessed his sins. Psalm 32 verse 3 and 4. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. In Psalm 32 verse 5 we read, I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Now the word forgave actually means carried away. It means to remove a burden. It is a picture of the scapegoat. The picture of the scapegoat on the Day of Atonement described in Leviticus chapter 16. Symbolically, the scapegoat carried away the sins of the people into the wilderness. Leviticus chapter 16 verses 20 to 22. Leviticus 16, 20 to 22. And when he has made an end of the atoning for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall present the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins, and he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. The goat shall bear all their iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness. So this scapegoat, symbolically, the scapegoat carried away the sins of the people into the wilderness. Psalm 103 verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Then we read of John the Baptizer in the New Testament. He points to Jesus, John chapter 1 verse 29, and he says, in John 1, 29, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Takes away the sin of the world. Like Adam and Eve, David tried to cover up his sins. But his schemes did not work. Remember the account of Adam and Eve in the garden, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. You see, we try to cover up our sins, and we are just being foolish, because our sins can never be covered up by ourselves. God covers our sins the moment we confess to him, and they are hidden, and never again will he recall them. That is why it is so important to come to Christ, come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, and trust in his finished work on the cross. Isaiah chapter 38, verses 16, Isaiah 38, 16 and 17. Isaiah chapter 38, verses 16 and 17. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these is the life of my spirit. O restore me to health and make me live. O restore me to health and make me live. Behold, it was for my welfare that I had great bitterness. But in love, you have delivered my life from the pit of destruction. For you have cast all my sins behind your back. You have cast all my sins behind your back. Isaiah 43 verse 25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. I will not remember your sins. Isaiah 44 verse 22. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Again in Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 34. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. So the moment we confess our sins, what God does is, He hides our sins. He will never recall them. He casts all our sins behind His back. He says, I will not remember your sins. I have blotted out your transgressions, and I will remember their sin no more. The Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 1 verses 5 to 9. 1 John chapter 1 verses 5 to 9. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. On the Day of Atonement, the blood of the sacrifice was sprinkled on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies by the high priest. In Leviticus chapter 16 verses 14 to 15 we read, Leviticus 16 verses 14 to 15, And he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the front of the mercy seat on the east side. And in front of the mercy seat he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people and bring its blood inside the veil and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Now that covered the sins of the people for a year. But this had to be repeated every year in the Old Testament time, in the Old Covenant time. This had to be repeated every year, and only the high priest could do this. And he would enter into the Holy of Holies, once a year, and offer the sacrifice, the blood of the sacrifice he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. In Hebrews chapter 10 verse 3 we read, But in these sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. But by the perfect once and for all sacrifice that Jesus did for us on the cross, our sins are forgiven forever. And to all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives the free gift of eternal life. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 12 to 14. Hebrews 10, 12 to 14. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Then in Psalm 32 verse 2 we read, I read now from the King James Version, Psalm 32 verse 2, Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now this word impute is a bookkeeping term. It's an accounting term that means to put on the account, to add to the record. When we confess our sins, God cancels the debt. And it is no longer in the books. It is no longer in the book. It is no longer in the account. The account is wiped away. It doesn't count anymore. The record is wiped clean. Why is this so? It is because Jesus paid the debt on the cross. And his blood blots out the record and he cleanses the offender. The forgiveness of the Lord is certainly something to proclaim and to sing about. That's why when David was forgiven and he experienced forgiveness, he shouts for joy, he sings for joy. Now too many of God's children unfortunately take this forgiveness for granted. And that's sad. Then we see in the psalm the foolishness of impenitence. The foolishness of impenitence. Verses 3 and 4. Psalm 32 verse 3 and 4. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Now David tells his own story and honestly admits how foolish he was trying to hide his sins. Now he did this for almost 1 year. The well-known preacher, Charles Spurgeon, he says, God does not permit his children to sin successfully. God does not permit his children to sin successfully. You see, sin is a serpent. When we cover it up, we are actually keeping the serpent very warm. It will actually sting more fiercely and the venom will be more effective. Therefore, don't try to hide your sin. It's like a serpent. The Lord chastened David for almost a year. In fact, he made David so miserable until David stopped lying. He humbled himself before God, he confessed his sins, and God forgave him. You see, God's chastening is not like a judge punishing a criminal. God's chastening is the way a loving father deals with his disobedient children to bring them willfully to the place of surrender. God's chastening is a proof that we are genuinely his children and that he loves us. In fact, we will study about God's chastening in Hebrews chapter 12, and that's the next portion of our study in the book of Hebrews. I just read to you Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 12. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. Now, what happened to David during these difficult months of disciplining, during these times of chastening? What happened to David? David became a physical wreck. That's what happens if we hide our sin, if we try to hide our sin. We can't hide our sins. But if we try to hide our sins, that's what will happen to us, because God will discipline us. And look at what happened to David. He became a physical wreck. Psalm 32 verse 3 and 4. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Now David was probably about 50 years of age when he disobeyed the Lord, when he committed all these sins. But he began to feel and look like a sick old man. David now had constant pain in his body. Remember, at the age of 50, he was not the robust and ready for action good old David. No. Psalm 51 verse 8. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. In verse 3, the word groaning is mentioned. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Now, the groaning mentioned in verse 3 of Psalm 32 is translated as a roaring. in the King James Version, Psalm 32 verse 3, the King James Version says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. You see, the hand of God was heavy upon David's life. So instead of feeling fresh and full of vigor, he had dried up like a plant during drought. The heat of sin had sapped him. Psalm 38 verse 2. For your arrows have sunk into me and your hand has come down on me. In another psalm, David writes in Psalm 39, in Psalm 39 verses 8 to 12, this is also a psalm of David. David writes, deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of the fool. I am mute. I do not open my mouth, for it is you who have done it. Remove your stroke from me. I am spent by the hostility of your hand. He is not suffering from a heat stroke. He is suffering from a sin stroke. Verse 11, Psalm 39. When you discipline a man with rebukes for sin, you consume like a moth what is dear to him. Surely all mankind is a mere breath. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears, for I am a sojourner with you, a guest like all my fathers. Now, did David have a fever that dehydrated him? We don't know. Whatever it was, David was miserable. In other words, David was saying, God, your hand was so heavy on me that it was like squeezing a sponge. You have just squeezed all the energy out of me. You see, he had a defiled conscience and a worried mind because he was hiding his sin. He's trying to hide his sin. And this question would have always bothered him. When will I be found out? When will I be found out? He was sick in his body and in his mind. But the pain was worth it because the experience brought him back to the Lord. And that's what the chastening hand of God does. God chastens us and draws us back to himself. It is difficult to have the heavy hand of God's discipline on us, but it shows that God loves us. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 6. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Discipline leads to the forgiving hand of God's mercy. While David was silent and would not confess his sin, he felt God's hand of discipline draining him. But the moment he confessed his sin, that heavy hand was lifted. Then God went to the record book and graciously wiped the record clean. Unconfessed sin is a terrible burden. God loves his children too much to allow unconfessed sin in their lives. But the same hand that disciplines is the hand that forgives, the hand that comforts, and the hand that protects. That is God's hand of love and mercy toward us. You see, God has not dealt with us according to our sins or transgressions or iniquity or our deceit, guile. No, he has dealt with us according to his tender mercy. He has dealt with us according to his great love. He dealt with his only begotten son with our sins. He put our sin upon his body. And Jesus bore in his body our sin. In his sinless body he bore our sin. And he faced the very wrath of God on the cross so that you and I could be forgiven. David moved from silence to confession and then to singing. Psalm 32 verse 7. You see that progression in the psalm. From silence to confession and then to singing. That's how you find David here. Psalm 32 verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. You see, when your soul is clean, you have a song in your heart. When your soul is clean, you have a song in your heart. Isn't it so wonderful to experience God's mercy and forgiveness? So let us confess every known sin and sing his praises. We must make sure that we are not harboring unconfessed sin in our lives. The prayer in Psalm 139 asking God to search our hearts to reveal any area of unconfessed sin in our lives, that's a very important prayer. Our hearts are deceitful, remember. Our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked, and therefore we can easily deceive ourselves. Jeremiah 17 verses 9 to 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Therefore, we must ask the Lord to search our hearts and show us the areas of sin that need to be confessed and forsaken. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Psalm 139, verse 23, 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are born of His Spirit, we are convicted of sin. Whenever we commit sins, the Holy Spirit brings conviction of sin. And we must confess every known sin and forsake that sin by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, because we are born again. The Bible tells us to reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive unto God. Romans chapter 6 verses 11 to 14. Romans chapter 6 verses 11 to 14. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Every time sin knocks at your door, you can keep that door slammed shut by being dead to that sin. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, Galatians 2 verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?